Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, it is our joy to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in the textbooks with the help of Citizen for National Security, as William M. Korosh II and Dr. William A. Saxton respond to such lies in the textbooks. So let us begin with the following lie. For we read,
in the textbook, World History, Patterns of Interaction, published by McDougall Little, copyright 2007, on page 1019, while the United Nations had granted the Palestinians their own homeland, the Israelis had seized much of that land, including the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, during various wars. Israel insisted that such a move was vital to its national security.
This passage completely distorts the fact of the founding of the modern state of Israel. The United Nations agreed to a partition of the land for Arabs living in the new state of Israel in the event they did not wish to live in a Jewish state. However, the Arab nations refused to recognize the existence of Israel and started three aggressive wars against Israel in 1948, in 1967, and in 1973. The 1973 war, known as the Yom Kippur War, because Muslims made a sneak attack on Israel on the Jewish holiest day, Yom Kippur. The United Nations, in 1947, granted nationhood to the Jewish state of Israel and allowed for a separate Arab nation in the region. The Arabs said they would never allow the existence of a Jewish state. In 1948, the state of Israel was recognized by the United States, upon which all the surrounding Arab states declare war on Israel, with the goal being its destruction. In the early stages of the 1948 Arab War against Israel, over 200,000 Arabs left voluntarily. The Arab High Council on Haifa refused to allow any Arabs to live under Jewish rule and caused many Arabs to depart. In 1967, the Arabs, including Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, threatened war against Israel and massed their armies on Israel's borders and closed the port of Sharm el-Sheikh, an act of aggression. Israel struck in self-defense and defeated the Arabs. The Israelis captured the West Bank, the Golden Heights, Gaza, and Jerusalem, the hereditary capital of Israel. Now, I would like to share with you few comments myself, for I believe the textbooks is very pious when the author of this book mentioned that there was war or aggressive war between Israel and the Arab Muslim nations around them. He or she did not mention exactly who began these wars. So maybe the students will assume that these wars were started by the Israelites. But the fact which must be declared in the textbooks that these wars were begun by the Arab Muslims as they united to remove Israel from the face of the earth. And this is not just one attempt, but there were three attempts, and each one of these wars, the Jewish nation have won the battle. Not because they want to engage in war, but simply because they wanted to defend themselves from these attacks of these barbaric Muslims who are from the beginning hated the existence of the state of Israel. Now, another important fact is, as you read in the textbook, the author said Israel insisted that such a move was vital to its nation's security. What move? The control of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Now, when the students read this sentence in the textbook, that Israel insisted on controlling these two areas that made Israel look like aggressive bad people. A great proof of how important it is for Israel to control the West Bank and the Gaza Strip is if we look at what took place the last few years in Gaza. If we look at what happened after Israel voluntarily gave Gaza to the Palestinian, what happened? You see, before Israel gave up Gaza to the Palestinian Muslim used to throw rock at the Jewish soldiers and the Jewish people. Once in a while, they were even sending their children, the little one, with bombs to detonate themselves to kill some Jewish in a bus or in some area. But now, after Israel gave up Gaza to the Palestinian, not only hundreds but thousands of rockets are launched daily from Gaza to every place they can send these rockets indiscriminately to kill any Jews they can kill. Can you imagine with me what will happen if Israel would give up the West Bank to the Muslim Palestinians, to the Arab Muslims? You might as well kiss Israel goodbye. Why? Because that would be a suicide attempt. So it is fact that Israel is insisting to keep control of West Bank because that is very vital for its national security. And the world need to know that. Our children need to know that. And we must write in the textbooks next to these statements that it is vital, that it is fact. Israel must control the West Bank. As a matter of fact, I believe Israel must take back the city of Gaza, for that is very vital for their security. And we must educate our children that Israel is in danger, and around it there are millions of Muslims who want its destruction. And we must teach our children in our public school here in America that Israel has the right to defend itself, and we as a Christian nation must help Israel to defend itself, that there will be peace to every Jew who live in their own country, in their own land. Now let us shift the topic to see what the textbooks wrote for our students here in America to describe this exodus of the Jewish people from their homeland. For the textbook stated,
in an addendum to Glencoe World Geography, published by McGraw, Hill, Glencoe, copyright 2000-2003, on page 4, around 1000 BC, Israel was united under a powerful king, David, who made Jerusalem his capital. Political strife later divided Israel into two parts, Israel and Judah, which were conquered by other nations. Many of the people of Judah, the Jews, left their homeland and their descendants scattered around the world. The first Jews in North America arrived in the American colonies in the 1650s. Today, the United States is home to the world's largest Jewish population.
When the American student reads such passage, he or she will come to the conclusion that the Jewish people left their home country by their own free will. They just decided to move on to go somewhere else, like coming to America to live in this beautiful country, the United States of America. But the fact is, the people of Judah did not leave their homeland. They were forced out first by the Babylonians and then by the Romans. They were taken as captive. They were taken to be used as slaves in other countries, in Iraq and in Assyria, which is Iran today. These facts must be taught to our students, and the only true source for this fact is the Bible. If we want to teach the history of Israel and what took place in Jerusalem and the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, why not just open the Bible and teach the true history, the true facts about what took place in the life of the children of Israel from a reliable source, the Bible, not this propaganda which is full of lies. You see, as I shared with you in the past, the Bible is not a history book. But all the history which is recorded in the pages of the Bible is 100% true. For God Almighty is the author of the Bible. Not only does the Bible tell us the truths of the past historically, but also the Bible informs us of what is yet to come in the future through the prophecies.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now, let us go back to more lies in the textbooks.
On page 440, Jews living in Israel and elsewhere trace their religious heritage to the Israelites, who in ancient times settled in Canaan, the land shared today by Israel and Lebanon. The Israelites believed that God had given them this area as a permanent homeland. Over the centuries, wars, persecution, and trade led many Jews, as the descendants of Israelites are called, to settle in other countries. Their religious identity, however, kept alive their link to the ancestral homeland.
Obviously, this statement implies that no Jews remained in the ancestral homeland, which is not true. That is a lie itself. For the fact is, there were always Jews who lived in the land of Israel throughout all these years.
The Arabs of the region, however, did not want a Jewish state in territory that had been their homeland for centuries.
Here we go again. When you read this written in the textbooks, you come to the conclusion that all those who lived in this area were Palestinians until May 14, 1948, when Israel was established. This wording support the incorrect claim by the Palestinians, Arab, that they are the indigenous people of the land.
Tensions between Arabs and Jews resulted in four wars that brought severe hardship to all the people of the area, including the Palestinians, Arabs living in the territory in which Israel was established. During this period of conflict, many Palestinians were displaced from their homes and lived in refugee settlements in neighboring Arab countries.
These statements are both misleading and attempt to delegitimize Israel by hinting that no Jews remained there under the Ottoman Empire. To state that Arabs did not want a Jewish state is misleading. According to McMahon Hussein letters and the Faisal Wiseman letters, some Arabs did not oppose a Jewish state and even supported it. Indeed, there was no Arab or Palestinian state when the Zionist movement was underway. The region was under the rule of Ottoman Turks until the end of the First World War. The Arab opposition came largely at the instigation of Haj Amin al-Husseini from 1920 onward. He eliminated those who opposed him or who supported the establishment of a Jewish state, among whom were members of the prominent Nahashibi family. This passage completely distorts the facts of the founding of the modern state of Israel. The United Nations agreed to a partition of the land for Arabs living in the new state of Israel in the event they did not wish to live in the Jewish state. However, the Arab nations refused to recognize the existence of Israel and started three aggressive wars against Israel in 1948, 1967, and in 1973. The 1973 war was known as the Yom Kippur War. As we stated before, the United Nations in 1947 granted nationhood to the Jewish state of Israel and allowed for a separate Arab nation in the region. But Arab, as we stated before, refused to live in the Jewish state. And that's what causes all the troubles from the day the United States recognized the existence of Israel in 1948 until today. And Muslim, Arab, Palestinian do not want to have peace with Israel. And I know many people will say in the West, well, if Israel give more land to the Palestinians, there will be peace. But this reminds me a conversation I had with my daddy a good 30 years ago. I remember it like yesterday when I was talking to my dad and I said, Dad, will there ever be peace between Israel and the Palestinians, between Israel and the Muslim Arabs? As a 13 or 14 years old boy, my daddy told me there will never be peace. And I did not understand why my daddy was hopeless for having peace between Israel and its neighboring country. But as I grew and I learned the truth about what the Quran teaches about Israel and the Jews. For the Quran begins with chapter 1, where Muslims pray this chapter many times during the day. And they pray to their Allah and they say, guide us to the straight way. And the Muslims are telling Allah which way exactly they wanted to be guided to. As they say to Allah, the way of those whom you have graced. And if you read any Muslim scholar's interpretation, they will tell you that the way of those whom Allah graced is the Muslim way, not the way of those whom you are angry with. And all Muslim scholars agree that is the Jewish people. For Allah's wrath is on the Jews. Allah's anger is on the Jews. Then Muslims continue their praying by saying, nor the way of the lost ones. And who are the lost one? All Muslim scholars agree. Those are the Christians. Muslims pray every day to their God, Allah, asking Him that they may continue to be in the Muslim religion, but not ever to be a Jew. Because he and she know for sure that Allah is angry against the Jew, and not to be ever a Christian. For he and she know as Muslims that Allah calls the Christian lost ones. What is the message? Muslims learn from their childhood, but to hate the Jew and to hate Judaism, to hate the Christian and to hate Christianity. Even though I know here in the West, you will hear Muslims always say, we love Jesus and we believe in Christianity. We love Moses and we believe in Judaism. But the fact is, that's not what the Quran teaches. That's not what they grew up to live by. For they hate the Jew. They hate Israel. How much land is enough for Israel to give up to have peace with the Palestinians, with the Muslim Arabs? The answer was from my daddy, all the land, the last square inch. No kidding. Muslims live to get rid of the Jews. They believe deep in their heart that Jews are the one whom Allah is angry against. As a child, I grew up in school in Egypt. They used to teach me, when you see a monkey, you know it was a Jew. For Allah and the Quran taught the Muslim people in Quran chapter 5 verse 60 that He transformed some of the Jews into monkeys and swines. Can you imagine? That's what Allah taught Muslims in the Quran. Jews are literally pigs and monkeys. And I wonder why Muslims hate the Jews. Then Muhammad taught his people Then we read Muhammad's own teaching in Sahih al-Tirmidhi, hadith number 1602, when he said, "Do not initiate the salam, the peace, to the Jews and Christians. And if you meet any of them in a road, force them to its narrowest alley." You see, the Muslims are following the teaching of Muhammad. They don't want to have peace with the Jews, to live in obedience to the commands of Muhammad. Did you know what Muhammad told the Muslim? The day of the resurrection will not come until the Muslims kill the very last Jew. Even the rock, Muhammad said, the rock will cry out, "There is a Jew hiding behind me. Come, O Muslim, and kill him." That is what we read in Sahih Bukhari, hadith number 2926. That is a fact. Israel is the small Satan for the Muslim world. And America is the great Satan for the Muslim world. That's what Muslims always grew up to believe. And that's what they will continue to do. Get rid of the Jew, that the day of the resurrection will come. That may Allah will be pleased with the Muslim. There are hundreds of verses throughout the Quran where Allah commands the Muslims to engage in war with the Christians and the Jews, to get rid of the very last Christian and Jew. I wish we can teach these facts and these truths to our children in our textbooks. When we meet again in the next broadcast, I would like to share with you a true history which should be taught to our children in our public school in America. It's simple history. Why can't we teach our children true history in our public school, that they may know the truth about Israel and about the Palestinians who live around Israel? And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.